welcome to The Rink, your source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapley Graylian. Finally, it's episode 61. This is a joint production between myself and the Avs Hockey Podcast. My man Jay Veen joins me. And yes, we talk about the Avs season, but we also talk about a lot of other hockey as well. Strap in. It's a long one on The Rink. I want to talk about the greatest goal ever scored. Ever. And to do that, I'm talking here with Jay Veen of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Jay, how are you?
You caught me totally off guard with this. Keep going.
The greatest score ever scored, well, by a Shark, against the Sharks, of course. But we're going to get to that in just a second. Jay Veen of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Hey, Jay, how are you?
How's it going, Tape Lake?
Excellent.
Good to see you.
Excellent.
You guys missed all the good stuff. We've been sitting here for an hour, so.
We've been sitting here for 2 hours, and I haven't been recording any of it. I kind of actually wanted to record a little outtake to put on at the end, so like kind of fade back in, and then we could, you know, talk about something.
He might have already done that, so if it's on, we apologize.
Jay Veen of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Jay is, of course, a friend of mine, and we've done a couple of these joint productions so far. I have been, I guess, away from the internet a little bit, away from podcasting. It's, you know, things have been kind of busy, and
we missed you.
Yeah, you know what? I missed it a lot too, and it's nice to be back to talk about hockey.
I'm glad I can break the silence.
Yeah,
it's an honor.
It's a good way to do it too.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
Actually, rather than talking over the phone, you know, like some of them are. But
plus, we have stuff to talk about, which is what nobody expected at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, no kidding. Before we get to that, also, this is a joint production with myself and Jay. The Avs Hockey Podcast, of course, is found at avshockeypodcast.com, which Jay is going to start putting up also jerseys that he owns. Jay is an avid jersey collector.
I need to do something during the off season to, I don't know, help me look for October again.
Yeah. And for Rink listeners, of course, they don't know what you do with your episode numbers. We're up for you. This will be episode number 54.
54. One number 54 in Avalanche history. That's David Jones. I don't have a whole lot of stats or anything for you, and it doesn't really matter. But it's just kind of a fun thing I do on my show for those of you that listen. So David Jones, the only number 54. So this will be the David Jones edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche.
You know, I feel a little guilty still about that, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, yeah. You're the reason why I changed that.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
Listen, you know, it's true, because, you know, you're not everything Avalanche. You're not snark. You're not angry.
Nope.
You're not bitter and bile, you know.
No, but I don't want to claim it is about everything Avalanche when it's not. So I think almost everything Avalanche has a little more character. Yeah. So,
you know, if I were to do that for the rink, it would be I'm something hockey.
That's descriptive.
Exactly. You know, it's not everything, but
people will be able to find you on Google that way.
Yeah, exactly. Something
hockey ish
yeah, if nice. I just Googled something hockey, mm-hmm.
You'd be the first thing
three times.
Wow, that's, you should be in marketing.
I know. So let's get to the hockey, shall we? The Avalanche season was very unexpected.
Yes.
There wasn't, and I know it's been said elsewhere, it's been said over and over, but there wasn't anybody who expected the Avalanche to do and accomplish what they did. And it was quite an interesting season as far as the players, personnel. You know, I kind of found it a little bit odd, and some of the things that, you know, like sometimes I would have to be away for a couple of games of, you know, watching with my schedule, and then I could come back in, and then all of a sudden I see a jersey number and I'm like, who's that?
Yeah. It was like that at the beginning of the season for some people too. Who's that?
Yeah.
You know, you had your normal guys, you had the Adukes of the world, but yeah, the guy that I went with is like, who's that? Seriously.
Yeah.
So it did take a few games to get me used to the number 39 that everybody didn't loathe. You know, and the number 37 that looked a little different out there. And so, yeah, it was fun to watch and see those guys kind of come into their own.
The watching what I did of this season, it was obvious, and it's obvious to everybody pretty much, that this was an extremely young team. They had a couple of veterans like Adam Foote.
Darcy Tucker,
Soleil when he would actually play.
Yeah, hey, Duke.
He played, I think, what was it, one game and then was out with a back problem?
Yeah, he played one game and then was out for, I think, 70-something games. It was a lot.
Until, like, the game before the Olympics, which was just...
And then he played in the Olympics, I believe.
Yes.
It was, what a comeback.
It was, oh, that was so aggravating to me.
Yeah.
It was almost like the Jordan Leopold when mm-hmm. he showed up and he goes out right away with injury. And how aggravating yeah. is that? That was so aggravating.
There's guys like that. It's just, yeah. it's one injury after another. David Jones is another one.
Well, yeah, and David Jones is hard to, I mean, his injury, you know, remind us of the injury. It was, I mean, it's not something that was his fault.
No.
No. I mean, what was it? Was it a,
I think it was his right ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he's the only number 54 in Avalanche history?
Jersey really? Number? Is that what it is?
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
But he's one of those guys that we talked about on our show before. He's hurt all the time. It's, you know, I think he's yeah. had one shoulder surgery, one knee done now. Mm-hmm. You wonder about those guys.
He's had a concussion, I think. I think he's been
yeah, like most everybody has, too.
Yeah. I might give you a concussion in the middle of this thing.
That'd just be so cool. You know,
start throwing things, make sure you get a concussion.
Ow. But, I mean, he's that guy on the team that mm-hmm. just cannot stay healthy. They're way better with him in the lineup, and there were whispers that he was going to come back in the middle of the playoffs.
Right.
But not even close.
No.
I mean, they're not obviously going to, I don't know, rule him out in the middle of the playoffs and say David Jones will not be back because he was skating with the team.
Look at look at what they're doing with injuries these days. You know, mm-hmm. it's an upper body, it's a lower body
injury. Torso is a new term that they're starting to use.
It was the other night, Sammy Salo, I think it was it last night?
Yeah.
Took one, and they would call that a lower body injury, and it was
lower extremity.
Yeah,
that was it a cup shot?
It was, and he did not. Word is he did not rupture a testicle, which is what they thought was going to happen.
That's great news.
Yeah,
I remember back in the old days of the Sega Genesis and on NHL.
Those NHL '94 guys?
Oh yeah, I go back to like '91.
You
go back
to Greg Wyshynski.
Sega Genesis. Right. I've gotten everyone except through 2008, and then I got the PS3, and we're good now. But It was a testicular contusion or something like that. Was one of the injuries that would pop
You're
up.
Kidding.
I can't remember the exact term. I say it all the time too, just for fun. But there was something like that. It was scrotal contusion.
No,
that's what it was. And oh, I mean, if you don't know what either of those are, well, people are going to know scrotal, but contusion.
I hope so.
But never mind. Oh, but I mean, man. I think that's classic.
Took it in the twigs and berries.
Yes,
mostly
in the kibbles and bits.
What was the? They've already got somebody already put up one of those. There's the history will be made commercials. Somebody already did one for him, and the thing was, what if Sammy Salo hadn't already had kids?
Wow. I love those. I love what people have done with them.
They're hilarious.
The real ones are great too. I mean, it's not like you're adding on to it, but just the whole slew of things that have come up. Those are so entertaining.
I know we're supposed to be talking about this Avalanche season away, but
Avalanche.
The Ray Bourque one. After that, I didn't know that so many people were I don't know if I could say upset at Bourque or whatnot about leaving Boston, coming to Colorado to win a cup. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, my feeling, of course, was he never played on a team that was going to spend the money to build a team and that was actually going to keep their guys long enough to actually have people around, well, good enough to win a cup with.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thornton trade was somewhat that, but was also somewhat a necessary thing
right.
to do. I thought it was a good trade overall.
Right.
He just wasn't a captain type. You know, move him out.
Not there.
Do what you're going to do. But there were people that were really upset at Bourque for leaving Boston to go win a cup. You know,
is that
he's a mercenary. He's a, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
from your perspective, because you get to see more of a nationwide, is that the majority or the minority?
You know what? I think it's hard to say. I think it's the loudest voices, of course, you know, it's hard to say what what the majority is. I was just surprised at how many there were. I mean, cause it really, to me, it's the feel good story.
Well, if he never won a cup, they probably wouldn't feel that way either. I bet you the cup really brought up those feelings. Yeah. I mean, how do you root against that guy?
No, I don't know. I mean, the same, like Andrzejczyk is the same way. We were talking about him a little bit before.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, Andrzejczyk was the first guy to raise the Stanley Cup before the lockout, and then he has no team after. Yeah. But, you know, you got to feel good for the guy.
But then again, like, if Joe Sakic would have left and won a cup somewhere else, I don't think people would feel the same way about him. Well, like, the face of the franchise when they go places. Like, Forsberg, as good as he was, and
he signed the offer sheet. You know,
that's true. The thing. And people, you know, I guess people who really pay attention bring it up, but
yeah, but you're fast. You know, you're fast to forgive when you win with the good, you know, with the home team, with the local boys.
Oh, That's easy, yeah. But maybe, yeah, maybe people, I guess I can understand how those fans would feel, but even if Sakic went somewhere else, I'd understand sort of. I mean, he didn't, so it's hard to.
I don't know. Maybe we just kind of pick and choose who people get upset at about that. Like, you know, some people are, you know, well, they should go somewhere like Kovalchuk. You know, I mean, is anybody really upset with him? I mean, not like, you know, he was traded. He didn't have a ton of choice in it, but, you know, would anybody say, well, he was just a mercenary because he went and won a cup in New Jersey if that had happened?
Maybe people just want to be mad at somebody.
I don't know. I'm mad at you.
That's fine.
I'm not mad at you. How can I be mad at you? You're just so perky.
I have to care first, and yeah, I don't care if you're not here or not.
All right, Jay, let's get back a little bit on track.
Oh yeah, Avalanche hockey. Yeah, remember those guys? I said it in my show. I said this season was supposed to be a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't supposed to be successful.
No.
And it wasn't supposed to be memorable.
No.
And it was both for people that watch them and root for them.
Right.
I mean, like Duchesne's goal in the shootout against Luongo, just like almost, you know, passing the torch to him, you know, being that clutch kind of so cool how it ended that way and how he was able just, I don't know. But I haven't been that, and we talked about it, I haven't been that excited about Avalanche hockey and years.
Yeah.
Even when they did make the playoffs before.
Even when they brought back Forsberg, things like that.
I was excited about it, but it wasn't, I don't know if that was expected.
Yeah.
You know, and he, you know, played on and off, tearing his groins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a scrotal contusion. Stop. But I just like throwing that in wherever I can. But stay heads up for that. It could come later. But I mean, but I mean, it was just so cool to kind of, I don't know. I mean, we weren't supposed to be excited about next season after this season.
No.
And every Avalanche fan is. I don't know if it'll sell more tickets, but just the way they played the game, you know, it was exciting and it wasn't supposed to be, which made it that much more exciting.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know. That's why I'm looking forward to next season. I know a lot of other people are too.
Oh yeah, I am. Well, there's a lot of questions about who's going to be back and who's not. And, I, you know, a couple of them are actually, have a little more significance to the general hockey world. I mean, like for instance, Darcy Tucker, his contract is up and, he's one of those kind of, for me, he's a polarizing player. He's one of those guys that, I don't like the dirty stuff that he's done in the past, but you love that he scored that goal, you know, that kind of thing. And where his usefulness is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be back. I think he'll be unleashed on the hockey world again.
And I don't know, some of the guys, like, you never see him again. We talked about this a couple shows ago too, like David Avisher or I don't know if Peter Budaj would play anywhere else if the Avalanche didn't sign him.
Well, Budaj, I mean, we might as well talk goaltending right off the bat. Craig Anderson got brought in. Nobody expected him to play as many games as he did.
No.
Nobody expected him to stand on his head in the playoffs. There was that game against the Sharks. Greatest goal ever scored by a Shark against a Shark was,
cool. Yeah.
It was just an amazing. It was just so funny. Well,
and the ovation the fans gave Anderson when he came out as the first star, too.
51 saves that night.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other performance you can think of is game 4 in 96, where Patrick Roy had, I don't know, it was 62 or 71. I mess up he and Van Beesbrook's numbers, but I mean, just them, I don't know, he played so well, and so we know he's a number one now.
Well, and he carried, you know, he carried the team. He really did. And there were a lot of people who said, I don't know if he's the guy. I think you even said, I don't know if he's the guy.
I didn't know if he was a true number one. I mean, he's getting there. When I think of true number one, I think of like a dominant goaltender that you have to beat him in order to beat the team. And the Avalanche are still developing that identity. Right. So it's hard to say, you know, he's an elite goaltender in the NHL.
Right.
He had games where he played like one, you know, even in the playoffs and when he could play like that.
He had games where he didn't play like
exactly.
that. But then again, every goaltender does that,
yes.
you know.
So I'm getting at it. It's not like, yeah.
Yeah, some of them don't do it in the Olympics against the USA, you know. And just choke against the USA in the Olympics.
Do you need that sarcasm font for that?
I don't think I really do. I think everybody's going to get that. My question was, if they needed to wave him off the ice, would they just hold up a pizza box?
Jeez.
See him go, yes.
Oh, pizza. That looks good.
It's Taco Tuesday. I'm going to the bench for Taco Tuesday. Coach says I get an extra Slurpee.
Could we be more random? Like if we tried, this is great.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's great. I love it. So, anyways, Craig Anderson, outstanding.
Craig Anderson was outstanding, and
he had a great year.
He did have, and then Peter Budaj, who now, if you look at TSN's numbers, and I believe TSN's numbers, but then again, you know, Peter Budaj played 15 games, but it says that Anderson played 71. So obviously, a few of those were in relief. And the question, of course, became even when it became apparent to the fans watching on TV, watching at the rink, that Anderson was having a bad game or was starting to get tired, you know, or fatigued or whatnot. And people say, why don't they just put Budaj in for a little, you know, start him the next game? Why would Anderson do back-to-backs, you know, on the road and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. So the Budaj question to me, and I guess this kind of goes around the league in a way, is why would you have a backup goaltender that you don't trust or that you're just plain not going to use, that you don't believe in using? And to me, it seems like Budaj is that, you know, is that guy, is that yeah. guy that Coach Joe Sacco, who is up for Coach of the Year. I didn't think that was going to happen, but we'll get to that in a second.
You didn't think that was going to happen?
We'll get to that
in a okay, second. Okay, all right.
You know, if Sacco doesn't trust him, why bring him back, even yeah. if he is cheap?
I can't argue with that.
So
I can, I, yeah, I'm not a Budaj necessarily hater, but it's also, like I've said in the past, like an Abisher thing. Like is someone else going to sign him if the Avalanche don't, right. I mean, does he even belong in the league anymore if this team doesn't trust him? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he's a starter anymore. I don't think you can say he's a legit starter even yeah. for, you know, I'm not going to talk stuff about any team, whatever, but you know, would he be a starter somewhere else?
Right.
Probably not.
Well, I don't remember who I was talking to this about, but I was talking to somebody about how many number one elite goaltender, you know, number one steal-a-game goaltenders are there really in the
yeah.
league.
Yeah.
And
depends on who you talk to. It's well, interesting. Yeah.
We were rolling the dice and coming up around 15. I mean,
see, I go way less than that.
Yeah.
Just on a consistent basis, that'd be the thing.
I mean, well, I mean, consistency is, you know, I mean,
yeah.
That I think is also going to depend on how many starts you get. But I mean,
yeah.
you know, you're looking at last year's Vezina winner, Tim Thomas.
He's in the bench.
He's on the bench, and nobody, and, you know, and everybody wondered, well, everybody. Many Boston fans I talked to when I was there, and even Boston fans who aren't on the internet, I know they exist.
Well,
they would say, well, we think he's washed up. It's like he
a year
he
after
stole
the
Vezina.
Wow.
The season after, you know, it's just, it's insane.
Success is like fleeting or whatever, however the thing goes.
Yeah.
The thing about, and I'm far enough from you where you can't swing at me, but that's where I'm most impressed with Brodeur uh-huh. is the longevity is one thing, but right. him being able through multiple coaches, multiple systems to still, you know, that mm-hmm. team is known for not getting many shots, known for not scoring many goals.
Right.
And he still wins a sick amount. You know, he won, I think, with 41 or whatever games he won this year.
Well, part of that, of course, is that he plays so many games. I mean,
yeah, so you got to.
I could be a backup goaltender.
Got to win.
You know, in the Devils.
Want, would you go for, in? For pizza?
No.
Would you? But you could eat pizza.
I could get takeout. Come on, Marty. It's DiGiorno. Come on over.
Is that okay. what David Krejci does during the game? He gets takeout?
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Nice. Nice.
There's so many things we're going to talk about.
Yes. No way we'll get to them, but no, that's all right. No. We'll forget.
No, I think, you know, we're so.
So Brodeur is one of those elite guys.
Brodeur is one of those elite guys. Yeah. Luongo is touted as one of those sure. elite guys. But, you know, if we're going to talk consistency,
right.
You know, I mean, one of the problems with Luongo, I thought, in the Olympics was that he wasn't catching.
Yeah, the brick the in his catching glove?
It seemed like
clank,
it.
Clank, yeah, clank.
Everything yeah. would just pop right back out.
And just, he doesn't look confident to me.
Yeah.
At times.
And
Brodeur, you know, never strikes me that way. And I'm not a huge Brodeur fan, but right. I watch him and kind of appreciate what he does. And I watched him really closely when he was here this season because we only get to see him, you know, once every other year here.
Right.
But just watching him, he wastes no energy.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's like between whistles and, you know, if he doesn't have to move, he doesn't move. And maybe he's, you know, hungry or, you know, maybe he's, I don't know, but he's learned to do what he needs to do. And
so, I thought I was going to be the mean one about him, but it turns out
I got to throw that in there. I'm giving him credit too, so
you know,
I'm hoping that's a
and
wash.
Here's the thing: you're never this mean on the Avs Hockey Podcast.
You're home for almost everything else. No, I'm not.
www.avshockeypodcast.com.
No, because I'm always talking to myself.
You don't have anybody to riff off of.
No, I need. Yeah, I need.
I feel bad for you.
Well,
I do.
Go ahead. That's fine.
You know, it, best job in New Jersey has got to be the pizza delivery guy near the Prudential Center. I'm sorry. I'm going to get a few angry people. I don't mind, but, you know, really.
Yeah, it's all right. We're just having some fun. We're jealous because he'd imagine the Avalanche with him in the lineup.
Well, you know, I mean,
you'd take him. Don't tell me you wouldn't. I mean,
no, I would, yeah. I would take him and, you know, be happy he was there and he would just, you know, but it's not, he's going to retire there, yeah. You know, and that's cool. I mean,
you don't see that very often.
He's got, you know, I mean, if you look at a few other goaltenders in his class, I mean, obviously Ryan Miller, mm-hmm. You know, Ryan Miller is just phenomenal. And
I'm trying to think who else, yeah.
I think Henrik Lundqvist is going to come along to that point.
He's there every once in a while,
but you know, these are also every goalie, no matter how good, it still needs, you know, players in front of him. And, you know, look at Thomas Volkoon. Volkoon's a really good goaltender, but you know, the system in front of him sometimes breaks down, especially in Florida, you know, there's,
you always wonder.
Yeah.
Well, and then I think about the Northwest Division where you've got, you know, Nicklas Backstrom and you've also got Mika Kiprusoff.
Right.
And I view them as just, I mean, they're tough.
Yeah,
I mean, for the most part, they're tough to beat.
But they've always also had those players in front of them.
They have, but then you talk to some of the Wild fans and some of the Flames fans, and they're like, nah.
Yeah.
You know? So it's...
Well, success breeds, you know? Same thing with, you know, like after... Look at what happened with the Ducks after their run in 2003. It fell apart, and I think some of that was J.S. Chigurh, and some of that wasn't, you know?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chigurh was, J.S. Chigurh, of course, had that amazing run. You know, I mean, if it weren't for him, the Ducks would have never gotten to the finals. They took it to game seven, and then they lose in game seven. Mm-hmm. And Chigurh was, you know, got the MVP as the losing goaltender. And, you know, how often does the losing team have a player that wins the Conn Smythe?
Not very often.
And really, right after that, his you know, the next season, right off the start, he was just not the goaltender he was the year before.
Do you know off the top of your head when Scott Niedermayer was? He was there when Chigurh was there in 2003, right?
He was playing against him.
Yeah, but I mean, was he against him or was he on the Ducks at that point? Or am I just making stuff up? But I mean, Niedermayer's, I don't know if I'm thinking right, he might have been on the team. Maybe not. Maybe he was still with the Devils, but whatever. But when you have a defenseman like that or a Nick Lidstrom playing in front of you, that totally changes the game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that Craig Anderson didn't have this year. And he ends up facing the most shots in the league. You know, and he's right up there as far as his stats, and he does just fine. So,
well, you know, it's
how many years can he play like that, though?
Right, and eventually, people, you know, everybody gets a book written on him. You know, like Jose Theodore. Theodore, you know, if you were going to score on Jose Theodore, you're going high glove side. You know, and that's if you can put 20 shots there, five of them are going in because he just doesn't keep that glove hand up. But and everybody gets that. It's like Tuukka Rask right now is so hot in Boston, and part of it is nobody has a book on him yet, and they are going to. But that's going to be a couple of years down the road. I believe he had the highest save percentage and highest goals against average. You know, best numbers.
It works like that in all the sports. Because I mean, if you follow the Denver Broncos at all, it was like that. You know, they start 6-0, and then teams start kind of scouting what they're doing, and then they go 2-8 the rest of the way. So something like that, where you have the talented people that watch the guys out on the ice, and then they figure out how to beat them. And we'll see with Rask. I mean, that's how you figure out whether the guy's a real deal or just hot for an extended amount of time. There's a big difference between those two, and it's the difference between being a big clutch goaltender and not having a job.
Yeah, that's true.
Or being a Vezina winner and then sitting the bench the next year. It's going to be so weird because he was money.
He was, look who started the, you know, the Winter Classic. It was Thomas. Yeah. And, you know, they wouldn't have had a goal against if he hadn't tried to check someone. Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, way it works sometimes, it doesn't work other times. I had a post on Jerseys and Hockey Love about Tim Thomas checking Jason Blake when Blake was with Toronto, and Jason Blake's like, what the hell was that? What was that?
I don't know, it's just so strange. But Anderson was an outstanding pickup for his price, and he signed through next year. He's making a very reasonable amount of money for the job.
So the question is, of course, are they going to bring up Tyler Wyman, who's currently he's currently playing golf because the Lake Erie Monsters, the minor league team of the Avs, have not made the playoffs since their inception. Even though, you know, pretty much the half of the roster, it seems like, was playing for the Avalanche this year. And, of course, Joe Sacco, the current head coach, came from Lake Erie.
And he was called up a couple times, too, and never played. And then they pick up John Graham. So there's some options there. And I don't know. That's one of the things that's totally up in the air between that and Adam Foote I don't really have a preference, and I don't really have an inkling one way or another as far as what's going to happen with those two.
Mm-hmm. Rob Niedermeyer, by the way, was he on the Ducks?
He was on the Ducks.
He came from Calgary.
Right. And was Scott on the Devils?
Scott was on the Devils.
Huh. Okay.
But I remember because his mom, their mother was watching, and she said that she was still rooting for Rob.
Wasn't the dad there too, and they each had a different jersey on or something to that effect? I don't remember.
Yeah,
whatever.
I remember that his mom was rooting for Rob because Rob hadn't won a cup and Scott had.
Scott had like a fistful of rings by that point.
Oh, yeah.
But watching that guy play, man, after all these years, he still got it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just smart play. He's not as fast or as quick as he used to be, but he's got that instinct.
It wasn't that long ago that the Ducks won the Cup, and you know they won it on the strength of Scott Niedermeyer and Chris Pronger, each playing a half an hour average time.
Yep.
And that's a lot.
I just really enjoy watching Niedermeyer still do what he does. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy against the Avalanche, but when you have guys like that, I mean, anything's possible.
Think he's going to retire?
I don't know. The season before last, he takes off half the season, and then comes back and does fine.
Plays this money too. Cap issue,
but plays this entire season and looks as good as he ever has. Almost, I don't watch him game after game. Solani, same thing.
Yeah.
If there, maybe a lot of it is health. You know,
it could be. I mean, well, look at Solani when the lockout. Was there a player that the lockout benefited any more than Solani?
Got his knee healthy, and we're good to go.
Had it scoped, had the deal, and he was back in, and he was playing like he was 6 years younger. I mean, the right before the lockout, he was playing for the Avs and was third liner, fourth liner, and it wasn't because there was a lot of talent in front of him. It was just because he just wasn't able.
Wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But it's been fun to watch those guys it's tough to root against them, and as much as I love the Avalanche, it's fun to watch the Sharks play well when everybody roots against them. And everybody says they're not going to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed watching teams. My team's out of it now, so it's not necessarily that I root for the Sharks, but watching them play well when everybody loves to hate on them, I like that.
Well, considering also we're not sure who they're going to face in the finals yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be – and whoever it is going to be
– they got their hands full.
Yeah.
They're playing with some confidence when they never really have.
Yeah.
So – So goaltenders, I don't know what they're going to do. So, I mean, obviously Anderson will be back, but I don't have a preference whether it's John Graham, whether it's Tyler Wyman or Peter Budaj. I mean, get somebody that's going to be dependable that you can trust, and you want to see Wyman, don't you?
I would love to see Wyman. I mean, I'm a big Tyler Wyman fan. Mm-hmm. He played with the Colorado Eagles, won the Rookie of the Year, Goaltender of the Year, and their President's Trophy, which is for them is their league championship, and. I think he's the goaltender of the future, but we've heard that before with this team, and of course the goaltender of the future is always playing in the shadow of the same guy, which is Patrick Waugh. And that's, I mean, Budaj, everybody was saying he was going to be the goaltender of the future when he stole the job from Jose Theodore and rode the rest of the season out to basically get within one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about Budaj, though, Budaj brings some intangibles, though, too. I mean, he's been a number one starter.
Right.
He's been that guy. But his role on the team, he plays really well. He's kind of a cheerleader a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, during shootouts, I mean, even Adam Foote, when Matt Duchene scored the shootout winner against Luongo,
mm-hmm.
Foote gave Budaj credit in the post-game interview to the backup goaltender. Mm-hmm. Who's talking to the shooters and saying, here's what you should do. And then that doesn't come around very often. So maybe he's the type of guy you want around for the price.
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't really have a preference. I just hope they get somebody solid that they trust and they can play a little bit more often. I think the Olympics threw the whole schedule off this year as well. I think Sacco ended up playing Anderson a little more than he would have, knowing that the 3 week break later in the year was going to come.
And then you throw off your rhythm. Yeah. When you're not playing.
Hey, he came back really like kind of rusty. And then
he'd said that, that his timing was a little bit off.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
By the way, as we're recording this on Monday, of course, Monday's games have gone final.
Oh, what you got?
Montreal wins.
No kidding. 4-3. I like that.
And, Boston, lost to Philadelphia 4-0.
Wow.
Yeah, Raskin goal, of course.
I heard John Tortorella say something, I guess the last couple of days, saying that, and this was via Bob McKenzie, I think, on Twitter, but he said momentum doesn't carry from game to game in the playoffs. You see scores like that, it's like,
Well, look at the...
He knows what he's talking about.
Well, same thing with what happened with the Wings over the Sharks the other night. Was it 7-1?
Yep.
And the next night, I believe it was 2-1 with the
money. You'd almost rather lose big, easier to forget, easier to move on. And I don't think you'd ever prefer to lose big. But
no goalie likes getting lit up. But you know, if you have the ability to laugh it off, you know, that's I think that's an important thing.
Or eat pizza instead.
Well, you know, cry on your pizza. I'd like a large with pepperoni and tears, please. Maybe the tears of little puppy dogs.
Do you have a rim shot somewhere?
I don't have a rim shot. I don't throw in sound effects. I usually don't. I would if I had more time because
it's just me talking.
I know. Yeah. We should get you some stuff for that, right?
I have some stuff. I just don't have the time.
A drum and a cymbal just sitting right next to you. But I'm,
it's like on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I want to talk about the defense of the Avalanche
here. Defense.
Yeah. So it got kind of frustrating for me a little bit with watching the playoffs as to who was going to be that rotating guy. I remember it was Ruslan Slay, who we talked about already a little bit, had the back issues, and that's never a good thing. Mm-hmm. Brett Clark was sometimes in the doghouse, and you know, it not always some people's favorite guy. I remember, of course, Wilson was injured.
Ryan Wilson. Well, he was also a healthy scratch, I believe, once or twice during the playoffs, too. So, I don't know.
That's the thing. And, you know, we're looking at a first-round exit of, and mind you, and everything, I think, with the Avalanche this year had to be tempered with, you know, but they weren't supposed to make it. But they were supposed to finish. You know, right. I mean, you know, predictions are as good as, you know, everybody was predicting that the Flyers were going to win the Stanley Cup. Now, they're still in the playoffs, mind you. Yeah. But, you know, and the way that they were had their backsides handed to them in those first three games and all of that. Anyways, so going into next season, there are probably going to be a couple guys that aren't going to be around.
Yeah.
Ruslan Slay be one of them. Maybe Scott Hannon?
I believe he still has a year or two left on his deal.
Okay.
So he'll be back. Brett Clark.
Okay, Brett Clark is... I'm sorry. Hannon has 1 year left.
Yes.
Brett Clark is one of those guys that people love to hate. I hated Brett Clark in the first a couple of years back when I was watching a lot of games. It may have even been his first season with the Avs. It seemed like every other goal against, he was on the ice for him. He was doing something that you're just like, what are you doing?
Kyle
you
know? Quincy had a stretch like that this year. I talked about it on my show. I'm like, is he on the ice every time the opposition scores right now? And that happens.
Yeah, it happens. You know, we only got six defensemen. Yeah, it's
good. Somebody's got to be out there.
But this is a team that really could use some stability in defense.
Absolutely. A big time stud.
Well, everybody wants one of those.
Those are hard to find.
Everybody wants a pronger, except, you know, nobody wants to play against a pronger.
Right.
You know, but.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a ton out there available who Flyers. Matt Carl, that name has come up. I don't know whether he'd bring the physical aspect that the Avalanche might use, but they still need that guy from the point that can shoot and score.
Yeah.
Peter Mueller covered that during the playoffs. I mean, and during the last part of the season as the forward on the point.
Right.
But they need – every team needs one of those two.
Right.
You know? I don't know which way they go. Do they go physical? Do they go offensive minded? They have a bunch of those already.
Yeah.
But they do need someone basically solid. A guy they can count on. Yeah. Adam Foote does as much as he can in that role, but
well, Adam Foote is he's getting old.
I don't know. He is old.
He is okay. He is. He was not Chelios.
Who's Chelios? I mean, nobody's Chelios. He's I heard some great zingers as far as on Twitter when Chelios came back. There was some great, like when Chelios was a rookie, this happened. But anyways, good stuff.
Dawn of time.
Yeah, it was good.
On the eighth day, God created Chelios.
That's right.
Hasek. Dominic Hasek, and I think if I read, I think he just won something in the, he may have won the Czech league. He's getting old. You also need that anchor defenseman to be able to play on the penalty kill, but they can't play on the penalty kill when they're sitting in the box for stupid penalties.
Yeah.
You know, and Foote unfortunately has been, you know, taking some bad penalties like that.
Vicious circle. It's obviously, it's just interesting because everybody says they need help on defense, but nobody can really pinpoint exactly what they need.
Is there a team out there that doesn't need help on defense?
Yeah, there's there, but it's a glaring. I mean, when your goaltender faces the most shots in the league, most shots against, That's right. Obviously your defense. Well, part of it's your offense because you don't have possession of the puck when it's, you know.
But you know who that sounds a lot like right now is Roberto Luongo when he was with Florida.
True.
He would face so many damn shots. And they yeah. wouldn't, of course, the team wouldn't go anywhere. How long has it been since the team made the playoffs?
You know,
it's been a long time.
That's true. It's a true team game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, when free agency starts, what are they going to do to spend that money? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you go get, you know, another big time? I think offensively, as long as they're healthy, the Avalanche, they're doing okay for as young as they are, and the upside's there, you know. But I'm thinking that'll be their first move, and I think maybe based on that first big move, hopefully they make a big move because those are always fun. Mm-hmm. But you'll kind of see where the team would like to go based on who they look at as far as free agency.
Yeah.
Not a lot of huge names out there, but something that
I'm so not prepared for free agency. I'm just not. It's like I'm looking forward to the draft, but I just don't know who's coming up for what. Other than of course, Kovalchuk is the only one that I really know.
I haven't looked that close. A lot of them are just older free agents. You know, all the unrestricted guys are just older guys. But there's a few names. I mean, I don't know. We'll see, but we'll see where the team really wants to go based on that. I mean. I'm kind of like you where, I'm not ready for it, but I'm excited to see what they do, but I'm not going to sit and speculate and get all stressed out about it. I mean, we'll see what they do. But like I said, it'll tell us a lot about where they'd like this team to go in the future.
Right.
Whether they want to play maybe a little more defensive brand of hockey or, maybe they go get another offensive guy and just push the play the whole time.
Well, the previous season, of course, our old coach Granato, the Avs old coach. I can't believe I said that.
Well, you caught yourself.
I did, but still, it's bad slip. Anyways, I'm not a fan, obviously, of our team. I don't have any cup rings, and I can't imagine that. I don't know why they overlooked me again.
Check your pronouns.
The Academy overlooked me again for a Oscar this year. I don't know why.
Weak. Take it personally.
I do. I take it very personally. It was supposed to be the season before this was supposed to be run and gun hockey and all that, and we see how that worked out. It didn't work out. Didn't work out at all.
And Sacco never came out and said this is how it's going to be. He says we are going to create an identity, and then he just kind of let everybody else decide what that identity was, and so he kind of set it up more for success. Mm-hmm. And this team does have an identity. They're a young team that's going to grind and not going to give up, and they're going to skate you up and down the ice.
And who they remind me of is the LA Kings.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
I mean, between them, the Kings and the Predator, I mean, Trotz is up for the Jack Adams as well.
Right.
But the Coyotes as well. So between the Kings, the Coyotes, and the Avalanche, those are three huge, great success stories when everybody thought they were going to be absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. But they've all created an identity and they stick to it. And it's just kind of something that everybody
Trotz has been around for so long. And,
ever since they started.
It's such a weird, for the Predators, for me, it's a weird dichotomy because they never seem to be able to hold on to players all that long. Yeah. They plug in a few guys here and there. They had their sale, basically they had the fire sale when they sold the team. And the one guy that's still there is the coach. And it's like, it seems like almost like a college team in a way.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Brodeur thing, through so many systems, through so many players, there's the one constant that has to lead to the success.
The other constant, of course, is Lou Lamoriello. And he's has as big an identity there as.
That's true.
As Brodeur.
That's true.
Probably actually does.
But the Predators are definitely, and the Kings for, I'm not a huge fan of the Kings either. I don't know what it is, but it's really cool to watch a team that everybody thought they were going to suck and they come out and they prove everybody wrong and. They play pretty good hockey.
Since we brought up Joe Sacco, I just want to touch on the Jack Adams Award.
Give me your thoughts.
I thought that post-lockout, the way that the team played, the way that the records went, that was going to cost him a nomination. I thought up until that point that he was...
You mean the Olympic break?
Up until the Olympic break.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. He basically was a lock for a nomination, and then the way that the Avs played when they came back, I thought that this may have cost him that.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking the expectations were there. Whatever, that is what it is. But also, we talked about the injuries a little bit before too.
Yeah.
It was a guy that took this team that was supposed to be absolutely terrible,
right?
And then they lose, second most amount of man games in the league to injury.
It's like Battlestar Galactica, the ragtag group. Mm-hmm. The ass and the 29 other teams of the Cylons.
There you go.
And they still find Earth.
Outstanding.
Spoiler alert. They
found it. No, you just ruined it. But yeah, I think based on the expectations, mm-hmm. and that's why I was surprised that there were three Western Conference coaches
up that from was Jack pretty, up.
Yeah, but I think those yeah. are three. I obviously root for the Avs.
Right.
But if Sacco wasn't on that list, I would have gone, well, that's kind of strange.
But you root for the Avs?
A little bit.
A little.
Just a
team. How many Avalanche jerseys do you think you have right now?
Where I got to count them. 60?
60. Yeah, that's not obsessive. That's not sickness. That's okay.
At one point, I was, I just wanted to get enough to wear to the game so I didn't have to wear the same jersey. Mm-hmm. I mean, who thinks like that? I'm such, I have a sickness. But it's fun.
I love the debate as to which conference is better. You know, it always makes me laugh.
That's applicable.
Well, if it was West versus East, if you were to seed the playoffs 1 through 16 in the entire league.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
10 teams from the West would have made it, 6 teams from the East.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's just, it's entertaining.
Yeah, but they don't. So
yeah.
That's why you actually play the games, and that's why the season's fun.
That's true. Of course, if that were the case, the Flames would have made it.
The really? Flames
would have made it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Montreal and the Flyers would have been out. If that were the case.
Well, there you go. Little known fact.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like who's better, East or West? You can almost say who's better, Sidney Crosby or, and Ovechkin versus the West. Because, it seems like the West has a little more balance to it.
I like that better. Do you want to talk about Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin? Because I don't think anybody's heard about them.
Not really. Yeah, I am not... I think I've gone on record as saying I'm not really a Sidney Crosby fan, but I think more than anything, I think it's just the general behavior. I don't know if you saw a couple nights ago in Montreal, he was getting kind of frustrated. Maybe a call or two that didn't get made. They thought should have been made or whatnot. He smashed a stick against the side of the.
And I heard it wasn't the penalty.
It wasn't a penalty, but it was just he smashed a stick against the goalpost during play. Like as he's leaving, and of course, that's, it seems like every time I hear about how he's growing up, how he's becoming, he's maturing and stuff, then he does something like that. Yeah. And to me, while he is a very, very, very good player, he's a player that, will take a team and carry him on his back. And that's, that's
great. Not many of those. Yeah.
But there's the other side of it. And with the control that you see sometimes in those, in the interviews, and it's that very quiet or, the cliche written, it seems like there's a reason there's those cliches there. And that's for this, that he just doesn't seem that mature sometimes.
Yeah. It's just too much hype for me for those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody else worth pushing that can carry the league on their back, but mm-hmm. I just get so sick of Versus talking about them all the time. That's right. All they talk about.
And NBC.
I don't know. I'm more interested in the game than a particular player. Yeah. And then, I don't know. Crosby plays more of an all around game than Ovechkin does, but Ovechkin, mm-hmm. it's kind of a joke that he doesn't play any defense.
Right.
And Boudreaux's cool with that. Well, it's like, seriously, and I understand he can, there's some upside to the way he plays and whatever he gives away, when he doesn't play defense, he'll make up for. But I mean, when's the last time you heard somebody say, what a great pass by Ovechkin? He doesn't pass.
He shoots.
Yeah. He shoots. And I guess...
Yeah, the most shots in the lead, next down was like 10 shots down, and the next down was like 50 shots down.
I don't know. I grew up and learned to love this game watching a Joe Sakic play it, in the all-around game. And that's just what I'd expect, and I expect the league. I don't know. It's just kind of a long story. I don't know what... I can't put my finger on it, but... I don't like hearing about them over and over and over.
I think they even, even though they don't want to admit it, Ovechkin and Crosby fans want to, are kind of getting tired of it too. It's like there's a whole other league out there. And I understand that, when you got a guy who basically gets drafted and essentially keeps your team in Pittsburgh, that's a big
deal.
And
wins a cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it weren't for, if Crosby hadn't gotten drafted, if they hadn't gotten the first overall pick, would the Penguins still be in Pittsburgh? I mean, would they have gotten their new arena?
That's questionable. True. That's true. Yeah. But I just, it's just too much.
Well, let me ask you
this. And do Crosby fans and Ovechkin fans get tired of hearing them too?
That's what I'm thinking. I think that they probably do.
If they talked about Joe Sakic that much, I think I'd be like, okay, enough. You know, there's other people worth talking about.
I mean, I get tired of, you know, and okay, of course I'm not a huge fan, but of, you know, there was always the, who's the go-to goaltender to talk about is Marty Brodeur.
Yeah.
You know, and after a while it's like, okay, you know what? I understand that there are, you know, that maybe not everybody's as easily marketable. You know, I mean, if there wasn't, you know, people talk about Ovechkin and the fact that there's a language barrier. Well, there is, but, you know, he's still a very exciting player, but he doesn't quite get
more. I like his NHL Network commercial where they close in on his face and he's got a suit on and he's trying to look tough. It's like suits and tough don't go together usually.
Right. Well, you bring up Sakic, of course, you know, and that he was an overall player. I know I'm kind of, we didn't discuss, we were going to talk about this, but looking at the game that Sakic played that, players, you know, from that era played too. You know, you didn't see players just playing offense. You know, you did see the all around. Is that, you know, are some of what we're looking at a product of the post lockout rules with the less obstruction? You don't have guys hanging off people's backs, things like that.
Could be. I mean, I haven't really thought about it that way, but I mean, you know, you come from the Yzerman and Sakic age where when you score, you act like you've done it before. Mm-hmm. You know, it really wasn't your job to get the crowd going, and you know, your play took care of that. You don't have to do any extra.
Right.
But now it is interesting to watch guys throw themselves off the glass when they score and go nuts. And I don't know whether that helps, but things have definitely changed. And maybe I'm just an old fashioned. Maybe I'm just, you know, getting old and like the traditional style of the game, whatever that means. But maybe
you
it want is
to bring a, back the two line pass is what you're saying.
Yes, let's slow it down and we can just, you know, keep the goaltenders. Maybe we can open up the corners again and just slow everything down. Yeah. But I don't know what it is, but I do know I get sick of hearing about those two, but
yeah.
I haven't really put my finger on exactly why that happened, but I like the idea as far as the rules.
It was just on the top of the head. It could be I could be just talking out my backside. I don't know, but it just seemed like, well, you know, what's funny, though, is as far as cherry picking is concerned, when it was the Young Stars game that happens before the All-Star game, and the year that I believe it was Budaj was playing in goal, every player got a point. Even the goaltenders got assists, except for one player who was cherry picking the entire time. You know who that was?
Sidney Crosby.
Evgeny Malkin.
Huh.
Not a single point in that game.
Interesting.
It was hilarious because he was cherry picking the entire time. He's hanging out in the other blue line.
Hey guys, I'm open. Well, he probably wouldn't say it like that.
I don't know how he'd say it. he didn't get a single point. I just laughed the whole time. Huh. even the goaltenders got assists.
Go figure.
I know we've gotten off track of the Avalanche, but that's okay.
Cause no, we know,
can. Fun
can,
talking about the rest of the
We can do too. What we want.
I haven't podcasted in, what, weeks?
Yeah, it's been way longer than that. You have some catching up to do.
I'm sorry. I've actually been jonesing for it. It's like,
it's your show.
I need to talk to someone.
It's our show. We can do what we want with it. Yes, it is. So we can talk goaltending, Clark and Soleil. I don't think will be back. So there'll be some cap room open.
A little cap room. I don't think they were. Soleil was a trade, but then they re-signed him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And he was straight up trade numbers. So he was 3.275 against the cap.
He started off so well. And
Clark was 3.5 against the cap.
Yeah, I think he earned that contract initially and just never.
Yeah.
Never. He was that good two-way guy, you know? He was the guy that would block a ton of shots, but also join the play when.
He was great in 2003 when he was with the Ducks. He was on that Cinderella run.
Yeah.
He was one of the big, he was one of the guys that you heard about on defense a lot.
Well, he was decent with the Avs in 2006 or whatever it was against the Stars. I remember him scoring a couple of big goals in that series, but I don't know. The stock has gone down. People have kind of, you know, he's a healthy scratch. John Michael Lyles is a healthy scratch.
Didn't they get him from Florida for Leopold? Soleil.
Oh, Soleil was a Florida deal. Yeah.
It seems like when you go through Florida, it's like it's almost like being on a team with Todd Bertuzzi. You just nothing's going to happen. There will be no success.
So you have Bertuzzi fans pissed at you now, and Brodeur fans.
I don't know if there are Bertuzzi fans.
I was almost going to say that
both of them.
I don't think I've ever said Bertuzzi and fans in the same sentence, but you guys are listening to two big time Avalanche fans, and do your homework if you don't know what we're talking about.
But. No, Bertuzzi, of course, you know, with the Wings, eliminated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they of course, they made it through the first round, but, you know, there's Bertuzzi. I don't know if it just seems like that guy's cursed now. Like, nothing's ever going to happen with him.
He should be.
Yeah.
I still just shake my head. I'm not that kind of player. Yeah, you are. You just did that. Everybody saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was terrible for the game. It was, I mean, flat. I don't know how I felt that night, but I'll always remember that. It's like, what the heck just happened out there? But I mean, it's, I don't know.
I felt after that, just, I got so many people that didn't, you know, they knew I was a hockey fan. I wear hockey during the regular season. I wear a hockey jersey every day. Yeah. I swear. And even at work, it's what's the best part about my job is I can wear a hockey jersey.
Yeah.
And, people are coming up to me going, what the heck was that? And people don't even care about hockey, yeah, but they wanted to find out what the heck was that about?
I mean, between that game and between, the big fight that the Pistons and the Pacers had in Detroit, where the fans came out on the floor a little bit. And it's just, some of it's just like flat scary. You're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
What was that when, what's his butt went into the,
Artest went into the crowd
and beat the guy with the shoe. Oh, that was, sorry. That's that was
beat him with the shoe. You're adding details and make me wonder, maybe he did beat him with a shoe.
There was only one guy I know that did that. There was somebody wanted to do a, there's all these great, of course, those great parodies of, History Will Be Made.
Yes.
And, there's somebody said that they wanted to see one that that was a Mike Milbury, and mine was, my idea was what if all shoes had laces?
And, yeah. Those are great, and they seem like they're pretty easy to produce too, because people, a ton of people have made them.
They go up right away.
Yeah,
they go up right away. It's so funny.
That's great.
You know, right after the Sharks scored on themselves in overtime, it went up. Like one of them went up,
and you knew it was coming.
Yeah,
it's not like you're surprised by that. It's good stuff.
That was Clow. That was Clow, right? That did it. That scored against himself, right?
No, it was Boyle.
That was Boyle. I keep thinking it's. I keep saying it. I said that the other day and I got it wrong again. Yeah. It was what if Dan? There was one that went up. It was like, what if Dan Boyle? It's too easy for that.
That's right. Yeah, it is. There's nothing else to be said there.
We should jump over to the offense.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've been jumping around a lot, but
that's what we do.
Matt Duchene.
Oh, I mean, what's there not to say about the kid?
Well,
I'm thinking, like, what if Tavares ended up with the Avs? Like, would he have had this kind of a season?
Right.
And Tavares was good towards the end of the season. I don't get to watch him that much, so I can't really judge the way he played. But you can't ask for more than what Matt Duchene did. I mean, he worked his tail off. He plays on both ends of the ice, which is what I, you know, kind of like Sakic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he forechecks, he backchecks, and a lot of steals this year. He could kill penalties, I think, if he needed to.
Yeah.
You know, but the clutch goal and against Luongo, he was robbed a bunch of times too. I mean, just an outstanding year. There are
times that, you know, he kind of reverts back to, I think we talked about it before, that he will, that at the beginning of the season, he would try and do that junior hockey thing where you try and skate through both defense because A, nobody's going to catch your passes, and B, you're not playing against NHL quality defensemen. And oftentimes they'd rub him off the puck, they'd get the puck back, they'd do a turnover. And he got away from that. You know, he started to get more to the passing, to the, you know, he found a place that was in front of the net at times.
Yeah. Creating offense is what he does. Yeah.
But then when he would get frustrated, and you saw it in the playoffs a couple of times, there he is again trying to skate through, you know, rather than going to the outside waiting for help, you know, get the play a little keep away because the guy can stick handle.
Yeah. I think overall, I mean, he's 19. And this is the first season he's ever struggled like this. I mean, you end up as an offensive prospect, especially number three pick in the draft. I mean, you've never struggled. You've torn up every opposition you've ever played against, whether it's juniors, whether it's your little kid or whatever. I think overall he handled it really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fun to watch him play. Like I said, he got robbed a ton of times. He's going to start burying those, and he's going to put up, you know, people say, oh, he's going to be a 50-goal scorer. And I don't remember watching Stamkos, although I didn't watch him game after game,
right,
and thinking, man, he's going to score 50 goals or somewhere near that. But, man, he just has this huge year. And how can you not say that about Matt Duchene?
Right. Well, Stamkos is one of those guys that when I was in Tampa before the draft, and there were already billboards up that said seen Stamkos and then seen Stamkos.com and you know, right around downtown, so which is where the arena is, they were already hyping him before they drafted him.
Yeah.
So at that point they didn't have a choice but to put him directly in. That's one guy who probably would have benefited from a year in the AHL.
And that's one guy that never really had that great of a team like around overall him. Around him, right. Overall.
And mind you, now I'm saying this, of course, in light of he tied Sidney Crosby for the goal scoring record, which is, you know, which is amazing. Second year, geez, you know, but he also in that first year when he was still developing, he was sitting in the booth a few, you know, for several games with a notepad. And, you know, who else from that draft went directly to the NHL?
Very few guys do.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, or you got more?
No, that was it.
Obviously, I mean, I was just talking overall.
Overall, yeah. But I mean, it's usually that first round pick. You know, your Ovechkin, your Crosby, Malkin. I think he went directly into the Penguins. Right. And you know, these are guys that played. I mean, I think of course, Malkin was, if I remember, Malkin had a little more time back in Russia.
Right.
This year, I think the top three all went. Tavares, was it Van Riemsdyk with
the second pick?
Yeah,
it was Hedman.
Oh, it was Hedman
to the Lightning.
Did he go right to?
Yeah, he's played.
Okay.
Yeah.
When was Van Riemsdyk? He was the year before?
Year before.
Okay. You know, the top three went. Know, how often does that happen? That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen that often. That's where we can talk about Ryan O'Reilly, too. The first second round draft pick since, I believe they said, the 2000 season to make the opening day roster.
Really?
On, you know, for any team in the NHL. I always bring up, I'm like, what about Paul Stastny? He was a second round pick. He was a second round pick before his sophomore year at DU. So. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly is the first second-round pick to straight up go to, and I think that's what might have turned the Avalanche's season around, where they got a, you know, they got a spark from another 18-year-old that they weren't even coming close to expecting.
No,
that was a brilliant, I mean, pick by the Avalanche. You know,
and he cooled off pretty quick. I thought
he did, but I think as far as his penalty killing ability and things like that, you can just, I mean, there's a couple of plays late in the season and during the playoffs, you just see him make a play, steal it. And you know, get the puck down the ice. You're like, man, that kid's 19 years old.
Yeah.
So I mean, between those two, it's just and you know, the futures we'll kind of see, and they'll kind of build their own role. I don't think Ryan O'Reilly's ever going to be a scorer, but he's going to be a Stefan Yell type guy where he's just going to be killing penalties, and when he gets a chance, he'll finish.
Yeah.
You know, but between all the young talent the Avalanche have, you can't be anything but excited, especially for the two 19-year-olds. They're 19 now.
Yeah.
You know, that really weren't supposed to. I think Duchesne was supposed to be good, but I wasn't expecting him to have that kind of an impact. I mean, he wasn't outstanding, but man, he was good.
I remember seeing Duchesne in rookie camp, and everybody was excited about him, keeping their eye on him, and just watching him stick handle.
Yeah.
It was just.
He's got serious hands. And the thing, too, is he, you know, you got guys that want to drop him, too. This isn't Joe Sakic or. Like Hajduk, too. I don't think people take really runs at those guys. They respect the type of game they play. And, and you know, you try and drop one of those guys, there's going to be some serious stuff.
Yeah.
But people took their runs at him, and he's got another, you know, kind of instinct out there on the ice that he doesn't get hit hard either. No. I mean, Stortini hit him pretty hard. And
he's still scrawny, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's smart enough. He knows his limitations, and he knows he better keep his head up because, you know, not only is he a rookie, he's droppable, you know. Yeah. But he does a good job of staying away from the big hit. And being able to create some offense based with a stick handling and also that kind of sixth sense that he has that out there on the ice.
Well, the nice thing with the Avalanche season, of course, is that they play preseason. They play the Frozen Fury game in Las Vegas against the Kings. And when I went, I guess, two seasons, you know, not this past season, but the season before, it got nasty. And
I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it had three fights, two of them like right in a row, and then Adam Foote was looking for any reason to get ejected. It was hilarious.
I've heard it's like that in the stands, too. Are people...
Everybody was... I would get... The Avalanche won that in the shootout, I remember.
Right.
And I would get a little flack, but...
not too bad.
Not bad at all. And then the people behind me, we were just talking, and they were Kings fans. I had a great time.
All right.
But it is like a Kings home game. It's like a Kings home game in a casino. I mean, it is...
Oh, no.
You're running the gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know, when you're walking to the arena, and I was wearing my Avs jersey. In fact, I was wearing my Wyman jersey, and one of the Avs, somebody on the Avs staff, came and asked me why I had that jersey.
Cool.
And I thought it was cool. I wish I could tell you who it was, but I...
We all wear our jerseys so we can get extra attention.
Oh, yeah. I do. You know.
Yeah, you want to talk to people.
I went to the Chicago Blackhawks game on this past week on Monday, which I put photos up at my blog, Jerseys and Hockey Love, at jerseysandhockeylove.com. And I wore my Johnstown Chiefs jersey. And I had a bunch of people That's great. Like, hey, great jersey. You know, blah blah blah. And when I talk about, you know, about actually the Johnstown Chiefs, not the Charlestown Chiefs from Slapshot, but right. the actual Johnstown Chiefs, where
that's you know, cool,
where the movie was filmed and based out of, and all that. And it was nice. It was cool to actually, you know, to, I love that jersey because that's like a it really is like a social network. It's like it's like a Twitter hashtag, and people just want to come up yep. to you and start talking hockey when they see that jersey. It's awesome.
We love jerseys.
Yeah. You love you. You have a sickness. I have a healthy habit. You have a sickness.
And you have to admit your sickness first, and neither of us are willing to go anywhere near that.
I'll admit that you have a sickness.
I see how it is. I'm gonna buy myself a jersey just to help me feel better about your comment.
I think you should.
Or
didn't you just buy one? Didn't you just buy actually a David Kochi Avs third jersey, the blueberry. The
blueberry. Smurfberry. I sure did. And for those of you that hate them, you need to see the game issues in person. I think you'll like them.
I have
them
gone
more.
On record as saying I truly dislike the new third jerseys. I like the old third or the old third mm-hmm. jerseys.
Everybody
I
does.
Dislike yeah. the new third jerseys.
But you don't like dislike them quite as much after you saw mine.
It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice jersey. I wish yeah. that the Avs would stop losing in them. They seem to have. Yeah. I wonder what that the overall record was. I don't remember.
It wasn't that. It was like it wasn't as bad as everybody said, but it was you know it was pretty bad.
It was like 2-8 or something.
No,
like
it wasn't quite that bad.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as everybody said, but yeah you'll have to see one in person. And I got the Kochi because the foot's over twice as much.
Right.
And the Wesley O'Neal. If I wore that to a game, people would think that was my name on the back. Because I even forgot that Wes O'Neal played for the Avalanche this year for two games.
Yeah.
And wearing your name on the back of your jersey, just in my book, is a total no-no. Yeah. So I went with Kochi.
I have a jersey I have to hide now. I'll be right back. No, well, and the nice
if
thing
it has significance,
the,
we can
if
talk.
If the Kochi has – the nice thing about the Kochi, though, also is that it's completely unblemished because yes. it was a game issue.
Game issue. So it's ready for the so ice, and it's made out of a you know a different material. He played you know, in one game in the
I
last
I searched
like,
the other night for the what Kochi does during the game.
Oh, no, it's gone.
It's just been so long that since we've
– That made me sad. Anything. That made me sad. But, yeah, we had some real beauties in there.
Yeah, it was great. For those listening, we had a Twitter meme going called What Kochi Does During the Game.
Outstanding.
And all it was what making up things that Kochi did during during the Avs game when he's in the broadcast booth.
Love it. Well, no, just when he's sitting next to Peter Budaj too, because I had one where they do a puppet show with Budaj's catching glove and Kochi's you know glove that he's not using anyway, and it's Kochi's corner with two K's. It's outstanding.
Oh, Kochi's corner.
Kochi's corner. World famous puppet show. And then what was the other one? I had another one where it was you know guess where the smelling salts are in my breezers. It was that one. And
oh, that's awful. Oh, that's painful.
What else is he going to do? He plays like, you know, four shifts during the game. So.
If he plays.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, back to my jersey. It's really nice. You'll have to see the game issues or a game worn jersey in person. And I know I changed my mind because I hated them too. And it didn't have as much to do with how badly they played in them. But
then Kochi played 43 games.
Yeah. In the last like 30 games he played, I think in one game though.
He scored a goal.
It was like one of the first games of the year, and you know what it hit off? Is breezers.
Of course.
Yeah, he pooped it out and went in the net. But yeah, he did have a goal. It wasn't off a stick. But.
No, it wasn't. The big move, of course, at the trade, you know, right around trade deadline, Volsky, Wojtech Volsky, who, you know, he's the guy that you – he was the ultimate conundrum. You know, he was a guy who would play well, and then he'd stop playing well, and then he'd get benched, and then he'd come back and play well. And, you know, I mean, he was an easy target in a way, but at the same time, you know, here's a guy that you want to see succeed, but you're really not sure if it's going to happen. And then they trade him to what seems like to me has always been like the perennial, you know, where Avs players go to die, Phoenix Coyotes. I mean, I don't know how many players – former Avs have been on the Coyotes, but it seems like there's a ton.
There is a lot. Yeah. Still are. Yeah. There still are. Yeah.
Derek Morris.
Former Av. And yeah. Steven Reinprecht was there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Was Yell there?
Kurt Sauer. No.
Yell was not there.
Yell was Calgary and Bruins and Carolina as well.
Carolina.
But yeah, I hear you. I wasn't sad to see Volsky go. I don't know about you.
I was sad that it stopped working out. I mean, he was one of those guys that I was very excited about. That he was one of those guys that he was almost like Svatos in a way, where here's a guy that you see a lot of potential in. But then when it doesn't work out, you're just shaking your head, yeah, wondering why.
And you hate him until he scores. Like when Zvato scores the goal in game six,
yeah,
it was to tie the game at one at the point at that, yeah, time. At Pepsi Center, I was like, "Oh, Zvato, oh, there he is. I could see him in an Avs uniform next year," and probably not. But
yeah,
I've never been able to put my finger on why I didn't like Volsky that much. Mm-hmm.
I think he always seemed like, and from our perspective, it's hard to tell when you're not in the locker room, obviously, yeah, but he just didn't seem motivated.
Well, and he'd been benched by more than one coach, and it always seems to come. And you bring up a good point, because you never know what's going on in the locker room.
Right.
You never know what this guy says, what he does, how hard he works.
Right.
Nobody's ever going to come out and say it, because that's not how especially hockey players are. Mm-hmm. But there was something that just wasn't clicking with him.
No.
So then, you know what I really like about the deal too, and I know, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you know, they bring in Peter Mueller.
Yes.
And everybody's pissed. Everybody's, oh my God, Peter Mueller's already a bust, and this, and this. 20 points in 15 games. Yep. He totally changes the power play.
9 goals, 11 assists.
He can join the rush.
Yep. And what was it? First or second? First, I think it was the first game he gets a power play goal from the point.
From the point.
And the second game, he gets the primary assist on this great goal by Lyles on the power play.
And I mean, I don't want to say he changes the team, but he's a better fit here.
Right.
Volsky goes to Phoenix and plays pretty well there.
Yeah.
And beats the Avalanche with, you know, a goal in the last minute.
I like to take the Brian Burke, or at least what Brian Burke says, side of trades, which he says, listen, he was saying, look, I want it to work out for Boston as well with his trade for that guy.
The one dude. Kessel. Yes.
And Kessel, and basically he said, look, if the trade doesn't work for them, I don't have a trading partner.
Yeah.
You know, down the road, I want to have a trading partner. And that's, you know, that's a big, and that's a good thing.
That's one thing. That's why we're not scouts and everything too, because what happens is that people are like, I want him gone. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what are you going to get for him? And I'm not talking about Volsky. I'm just talking in general.
Right.
It's like you just can't get rid of everybody you don't want on the team and get people that are great in return. Right. It just doesn't happen that way. So he brings up Svatos, he should be a hockey exec with thoughts like that, you know?
Svatos is a good point on that one, because, you know, I want him gone. We should get a defensive defenseman, a number one guy. Well, you know what? That's not going to necessarily happen. That's not a one-for-one trade.
Needs to be upside on both ends. And it's easy when you root for one team to say that. It's easy to say it, but. Man, but I'm glad it worked out for both teams.
My question with Mueller being with the Coyotes and coming here and working out well, and you know, I mean, it's early. He's it's just still gotten
early.
Here.
It's still early.
They're going to re-sign him. His contract's up, so they'll you know, he's an RFA now. My question was, you know, did Wayne Gretzky break him? You know, maybe that's kind of rude to say about one of the greatest players, but Gretzky was not a great coach in Phoenix.
It's the stuff we'll never know.
Right. And, you know, you take a guy, you plug him into a system, and you hope that he's going to work in your system, and he may not. Look at Kovalchuk with the Devils.
Yeah.
He gets over the Devils in a completely different system that isn't necessarily geared for his kind of game, and the fans were already planning the parade route, and they're again a first round exit.
Yet again,
and where I mean, Kovalchuk's a great player, but you got to put him in a place that's going to work for him. And I wonder if Mueller was in the same thing.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mueller the Hobie Baker winner?
He was, and he was also a guy that I had mentioned in my show a couple seasons ago. It was a guy to watch, you know, because I liked his style of play. He's never shy to shoot, you know. But now he's joining the rush and. I mean, that's just what I like, because I wasn't like, man, this is a great move, but I've always liked how he played. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't clicking with Tippett or Gretzky for whatever reason.
No.
But I loved him coming in here when everybody hated the move and saying, oh, he's already a bust. And he comes in here and he does that. And then I'm never one to say I told you so, but because I didn't say anything at the time. But I was just like, can we let the guy play, you know, 10 games? And he works out in the first game, and everyone's like, oh, great move. You know, there wasn't one person that said, I like this move.
Yeah.
You know, just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, that was I thought, well, maybe there's some upside here. We'll have to see. But, I mean, his first year in Phoenix, 54 points, mind you, minus 13.
Mm-hmm.
But he jumped right from junior straight in.
Yeah, he's 18,
he
yeah.
Yeah, he didn't go into He didn't go down to San Antonio, which is their farm team.
I've always liked him. He's big. He can skate, and he's got a big shot. You know, we saw examples of that, and you know, obviously, he needs to stay healthy. But he made this team better, and he just turned 22, like last week or the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another young guy that's going to help them be better down the road.
Yeah.
If they can keep him around, and he's, you know, he fits right in.
Yeah.
And so if, you gotta, you like
know,
it.
If Volsky works out well, good for them. You know, there's nothing wrong with
a player going
from somewhere that, you know, it's not like it didn't work out here. It just wasn't working the way that it should have or could have, you know, and that's,
I like that.
Yeah. That's fine.
You that's know? Good enough by me. But
Svatos is probably going to be in the same bucket, yeah. And he's going to probably go somewhere, and maybe he'll turn it on there, and that's cool. You know, that if you can't turn it on here, maybe you can turn it on there. There's a lot of different systems out there, yeah. And a lot of different coaches and a lot of different ways of doing hockey. You know,
I can't argue that. I mean, I just don't see.
You should. I don't know why. You know, maybe engage a little bit here.
I don't see. You left me speechless. I just don't see Svatos doing that. I don't. He's just not fast enough, and he's not big enough. I need to do it, but it's not like I'm rude against him. It's not like I hate him either. You know, he's
with guys like him that there is almost a switch that gets thrown when you get that injury that takes you out for a little bit, yeah. That all of a sudden, like he was going to be, everybody was looking at his potential and all of that. And hey, yeah. This is going to be good and blah, blah, blah. And then he gets injured and it all went to heck for a while. I believe it was a big concussion.
Yeah. And his shoulders too. I think both shoulders, but
right.
He's one of those guys that needs, and Volsky's the same type. Mm. He needs a lot of players around him. He's a good finisher on maybe a second line when there's other guys that you need to, you know, take care of because they're even better.
Well, and they're kind of small guys too.
Yeah. And he's a good complimentary guy, but he's not a guy that's going to come in and just lead your offense places. He's just not the type of a player. And he hasn't had those type of players around him lately. I mean, he hasn't been healthy enough. He hasn't been able to skate on the first or second line, really. Mm-hmm. And third or fourth grinding is not what he does. So he's stuck. You know, TJ Hensick's another one where he was one of the first call-ups, and you never heard from him.
Yeah.
Injury after injury, the Avalanche bring up player after player, and Hensick's not one of them. Yep. So something's going on to where they're just not going to – they've just kind of given up on him.
Well, you know, who else is like that in a way? And maybe it's a little too early to say this about him, but Ryan Stoa. Here's a guy that, you know, I remember when we were doing the blogger roundtable at the beginning of the year, and Stoa was one of my questions I had to answer, which I was like, oh, great. Give me this question. I, you know, thanks. Yeah. But what is, you know, is Stoa going to get 20 goals this year? And what I wrote was the guy's got to get called up first. And I don't think it's going to happen. And sure enough, he plays 12 games. He gets 3 points. He's -3.
Yeah, he didn't play that bad, and he shoots everything. He shoots everything. I think, but the upside for him is his size. He's going to get bigger, you know. And everybody wants power forward that can skate a little bit,
right?
You know, Svatos isn't going to get any bigger, obviously,
right?
You know, and Volsky, as large as he wasn't really that large, but you'd like him to play more of a physical game. It's just not in his nature. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Stoa, you still have some time to figure out whether he's going to be, you know, what the Avalanche need in the future. With Svatos, I think it's been decided, and I just don't. He's one of those guys, like, if he's not playing with the Avalanche, who's going to sign him and play him? A ton.
Yeah.
You never know.
I mean, he's one of the – well, we're also dealing with a coach that that has seen these guys in the AHL level for a couple of years. You know, he was down there. And, you know, same thing with the – it was like with Bruce Boudreau with the Capitals. Yeah. He came up, but he was also in the farm system for a while. He was already working that system, the Capitals system down there, and, you know, was able to, you know, work with the younger guys, any younger guys that came in. I'm not even thinking of any younger guys on that team that came up that way, but I think maybe Semin was
– there's
was
some, a couple. Sure,
yeah.
Sure,
yeah. But, you know, and so Brooks what like. His
– good call. I don't know.
What his – and, of course, Varlamov.
Yes.
But what – he's seen down there is going to translate to what he'd like to see called up here.
Absolutely.
Even, you know, even though that's the GM also, you know, it's not like those two don't, you know, don't communicate.
I think they chat every once in a while.
A little bit. Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about a system that a guy who actually knows something a lot more that we don't know. And that's a little frustrating when you have a quiet team like the Avalanche are with the media, and like, they don't go out and do a lot of press conferences, invite you into the locker room, whatnot.
Hey, everybody. You
know? Hey, everyone.
Here's what's really going on. Yeah. Watch this. But yeah, and nobody talks about Hensick anymore. And he's another smaller guy though, too, to where if you're not fast enough, or, you know, kind of, I don't know, you know, slick enough, and you don't have the moves, it's just not going to happen.
Well, and then what do we always hear is that Kaminsky is the guy who's the good skater.
The road runner.
But also, you know, maybe there was a showdown. There's only one room in this team for one TJ, and we have TJ Gagliardi.
Yeah.
What is more fun, watching TJ Gagliardi score, or listening to the call, the play by play when he scores a goal?
Gagliardi. Yeah, that's outstanding. But he's another nice surprise, young kid.
Yeah.
And during the playoffs, he becomes this big pest, mm-hmm. which I love too. I never saw that during the year. But I guess after you get, you know, 14 stitches in your lip and you get your tooth knocked out and there's no penalty, it totally flipped a switch with him.
Yeah.
So I can see him being a Darcy Tucker in his prime and being kind of a, not fighting people, but really being kind of that thorn in your side. Kneecapping
people maybe? Like Darcy Tucker did?
That's true. Maybe not that, but I'm just thinking pest as far as pest. Jeez, bringing up old stuff.
Listen,
you don't forgive anybody.
No, you know what? Okay, well, first off, I'm conditioned against him, of course, because Tom Luongo also is not a fan. But at the same time, you know, he is to, you know, Darcy Tucker is to the Eastern Conference as Ole Samuelson is to Cam Neely.
Okay,
you know, so
all right, I see what you're saying. You saw what I was saying too.
I do.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I'm one of those guys who, I mean, I was never, ever, ever happy with Brad May being on the team. Yeah. I thought it was a bad move. You know, it's like, you're not going to go sign Chris Chelios to this team. There are things that aren't going to sit well with fans. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm a fan still. I'm not, you know, I'm not a media guy. I'm not a press box guy. And that's cool. I'm going to take that perspective. But yeah, sometimes, you know, there were things about, you know, and Darcy Tucker, I'll be honest, he played relatively clean here. You know, I mean, I'm sure there were a few questionable hits or a few questionable hits with everything. But, you know, I mean, I saw Adam Foote stick his leg out to trip a guy, you know, when he was way out of position. It was, you know, he might as well have held up a sign that said, "I'm about to trip you."
Yeah. You know? I mean, with Darcy Tucker too, it's just, they say, well, he's one of those character guys. And I can't doubt that because I don't know the difference. And we haven't seen, you know, we're not part of the team.
Right.
And he obviously brought a lot more. But I mean, all the stuff that all the Eastern Conference people said and, oh, this, and this. I never saw anything like that.
Not here. I didn't see that.
No, yeah, not at all. Yeah. I don't know. You know where that went, I guess, when you get a little older and
maybe the frustration of playing on the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, for those years.
Just messes you up forever.
There's something about that team. There's something about that team.
Yeah.
And nobody, you know, everybody's worried about, when are the Leafs going to win? When are the Leafs going to win? Blackhawks haven't won a cup since, what, 62, I think it was?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's been even longer for them, but nobody worries about that. It's
Canadian team, you know? I guess. Yeah. So, TJ Gagliardi, I'm excited about that kid.
Yeah.
And I think he showed a lot of upside as well, and I like him a lot.
I think we got to do a lightning round here because
lightning
long.
We're having fun though.
I know I'm having fun.
We're making up for lost time.
Brandon Yip.
Yippee. 11 goals, 32 games played.
What is his locker room nickname? Is it?
I think it's Yipper.
Is it Yipper? I was going to say Yipper or Yippee.
Yippee is too easy. Yipster.
The worst.
Yeah.
The worst. They're just the worst with these nicknames.
Oh, they have fun with them.
Horrible.
Like, who's he talking about again?
Well, then you know, there's a guy Roy who does the who does a blog called Wild Puck Banner up in Minnesota. I just actually hung out with him a couple of days ago, and he calls me Taper.
it's actually
kind of makes me go, okay, that's kind of cool.
It's a given. Yeah, when in my baseball days I was Wiener. So
Wiener,
I don't know. Yeah, whatever, Wiener Schnitzel. But anyways, Brandon Yip
rhymes with
yes. Power forward, 2B, doesn't quite have it skating wise yet.
Yeah,
but scored some clutch goals.
Yeah,
although health again, you know, he does his shoulder and he's out for a few weeks, but came up and did a really good job in a limited role. Mm-hmm. I liked what I saw.
I know that you don't want to talk about Ovechkin, but at the same time, you know, you look at it's the style of play. If you're the power forward, you're going to get injured.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, you know, Ovechkin hits, he's going to wind up getting injured and out more in the next couple of years.
Sure. So, and
you know,
people want to hit him too.
They want to hit him, but they're not going to, you know. I mean, even, you know, I think, what was it, Chara and him? Had some pretty good battles.
Something like that.
And they would basically, you know, Char would hit him and he'd hit him back. And there was no fear.
You got to respect that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if Yip's going to be the power forward, I mean, I'm trying to figure out still where the power forward, you know, in general is going to look like.
Yeah, that's true. In front of the net. See, when I think of that, in front of the net during the power play.
Okay.
That's what Chris Stewart did pretty well.
You're talking about like your Zetterberg.
Holmstrom's not that big, but he plays bigger than he is.
He backs in
something,
you know,
like
he
that.
Knows where he a knows where the edge of the crease is. He backs in, and then he knows he's not going to get
a guy that's down. Tipping pucks, picking up rebounds, just in the way when he needs to be.
Ryan Smith was supposed to be that, but he was never. You know, he was. Ryan Smith was one of those guys where you thought when he was going to take off his pads, he was going to look like he weighed 125.
That's
pounds.
True, and plus his hair was bigger too.
His hair was gigantic.
Mullet. I'm going to try a wraparound, guys.
Hansen stopped with the mullet. Hansen got rid of the mullet.
That's true. He did. Yeah. He did. Yeah. It looks a little different, but hey guys, while you're over here working on the PK, I'll be over here working on wraparounds. Ryan Smith and his wraparounds, but okay. Lightning round. Where you going? Who else you got?
Matt Hendricks.
I liked him a lot. 28-year-old rookie, not eligible for the Calder, but he and Cody McLeod brought some really good energy during the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I liked his work ethic because he has to work his tail off in order to stay in the league. And you can't say this about everybody. Like, the lineup was not better when Marek Svatos was in the lineup. Mm-hmm. When he dressed, it was like, but you know, Matt Hendricks, when he's in the lineup, the Avalanche were a better team. And I don't think anybody who watched them game in, game out could argue with that. When he was out for a while, the team struggled for a little bit. Yeah. But he was a nice surprise among other nice surprises for the Avs this year.
Stefan Jarl, should we bring him back?
I think for the price and if he's willing to pay, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if he's willing to play for that price, he makes like, you know, league minimum, it's less than $600,000.
Yeah. He was number 18?
He was.
Can't believe he would sully the number of Tanguay.
You got Tanguay, Drury, yeah.
Drury, yeah.
Drury was 18. Mm-hmm. Any other 18s? Anyways, I like him. I think he can kind of mentor Ryan O'Reilly on the penalty kill. Mm. I like his leadership. He played well. He didn't score any goals or anything, but that's not his job.
Yeah.
You know, he played his role well, and he can take some of the penalty kill time that might wear out of Matt Duchene or a Ryan O'Reilly or, you know, anywhere in between. He can be a role guy that can really you know, let offensive guys play a little more offense and not have to worry about PK stuff.
Brian Wilsey and Adam Deadmarsh.
Deadmarsh, yeah, yeah. Wilsey too?
Wilsey.
Yeah, Wilsey, and then he changed to 50.
Anyways, getting a little off track.
From no, the that's announcer. Jersey numbers are never off track.
For you, I mean, you know.
For me, that's just natural.
The hell are these guys talking about? They're freaking me out.
Yeah.
One of the guys who, when I would see his number, I go, who the heck is that? Kevin Porter.
Porter, he started, I don't know. He's still young. It's kind of hard. Sacco put him out there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and
20 games played.
Yeah. And he had a shorthanded goal and,
yeah,
you know,
three points.
Yeah. He played okay.
He's pretty much an injury call up guy.
Yeah. But then he stayed up and he played when other guys were healthy scratches. Like when Svatos was healthy and Porter was, Svatos wasn't, let's see, when they were both healthy, they played Porter over Svatos. Mm-hmm. I have to watch him a little bit more. But he was kind of that throw-in guy that ended up being not so bad when everybody's like, who's that? You know, so he still has some growing up to do, too, but he's another young guy.
Chris Durno.
Durno's okay. He's a role guy. He scored one of the best goals of the year later when he dives for the puck and knocks it into, I believe it's to tie up the game against the Sharks or whatever. I don't know if the facts are right there. Kind of a role guy. I don't know if he'll be around. I don't know if he's a career guy. But
truthiness.
Yeah. <you know. laughs> He's big. Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's I'm hoping. I mean, you know, I'm still kind of looking for that guy to fill the role of the Ian LaPerriere in a way. I mean, maybe it's Cody McLeod. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, you know, but you know, Ian LaPerriere was that character guy that, you know, when he was around, it was, I remember in it when Peter Budaj was the number one goaltender and playing like it, it was the biggest cheers during the opening.
Oh, yeah.
Would be Joe Sakic,
absolutely,
Peter Budaj, and Ian LaPerriere.
Yeah,
everybody, and they love those three guys. You know,
how can you not?
I'm looking for that guy to come.
Yeah, those guys don't come around that often. I wish they did, but I don't think they mean as much if they did.
They're not going to keep coming around. They keep blocking pucks with their face.
Yeah, you can't quite do that. A couple times, he took over like 100 stitches to his face this year, and he lost 7 teeth and brain contusion.
He probably looks exactly the same, but still,
that nose. He does, but yeah.
Oh, that nose.
It'll eventually be fixed, but yeah, I don't know if any of the young guys. Cody, you bring up a good point with McLeod. He's that kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. McLeod doesn't do well. He does about the similar job, mm-hmm. you know. McLeod had a decent year, but I think he's kind of still trying to figure out his role. He's not a heavyweight,
right?
Not a power forward, not a PK specialist. Mm-hmm. Agitator, he's getting there,
yeah.
But maybe it's the intangibles that Lappy brought. That I keep
worrying about this word. That word, intangibles. That word always makes me just kind of not cringe in a way, but then just go
stuff. Okay, you
but
don't we have
need some tangibles here too. You know, I mean,
I mentioned a bunch of tangibles, but there's just I see what you're saying though. It's whenever some guy's missing something, you say he's just lacking those intangibles.
Yeah, or he's, you know, he's got intangibles in the locker room. Well, it's great. Can we have him on the ice for a moment here?
Let me for now just we can just put in leadership.
Okay.
I mean, and that's one thing. lap he brings, that not everybody is just made to do that.
Yeah.
And McLeod's still fairly young too.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
He's got the worst, the tooth. The teeth are just.
Oh, those are outstanding. Oh,
that is the middle gap there.
Just, that's hockey. He's got a face. He's got a hockey face.
So, next year, you know, I mean, obviously the season's over, the postseason is over. Abs, you know, really, even though they won two games, they really didn't do that well in the postseason against the
Sharks. No, people don't talk about that. I go back and forth with that, but they're badly outshot by a sick amount. They win a game off Rob Blake's skate and off Dan Boyle's basically stick after O'Reilly tips it. But
you really can't count on that except for Rob Blake, but you know, you can't,
no,
that's no way to play.
But they won. That's the other thing. So you're excited in one sense, but if you look at a big picture and you just look at the stats, you're like, wow, they were lucky to win.
Would you rather be lucky or good? Well, luck runs out too.
Yeah.
You know,
they end up winning more games against the Sharks than the Red Wings did.
That's true.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
You know,
mind you, how many goals did they score against the Sharks? I mean, they had that one big, what was it, 6-5 in overtime?
Yeah, everybody's scoring. They blow five leads in that game. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a hard time with the, I remember somebody was, I remember listening to a game on satellite radio, and a team had gone up 1-0, and then it got tied up, and they were like, they blow another lead. It's like, it was 1-0. Yeah. Come on. You know, it's.
But after it was, you know, 1-0, 1-1.
Yeah.
2-1, 2-2.
Yeah.
They get outshot by 30 in that game, and they give up like 24 power play shots. I think it was 8 power plays in that game,
too. Pretty Anderson, you know.
He was tough, but you can't. Yeah. I see what you're saying. So are you saying, like, should we be excited about next year still?
Or? I mean, well, what are you looking for next year? I mean, is it time to think playoff rush? Is it time to, or, you know, I mean, is it time to sit back and wait and see what happens after January or after July 1st?
Yeah. I'm kind of in that it is what it is thing. And obviously expectations are a little bit different for next year. And I think people are expecting some big things. Mm-hmm. I think, is anybody going to be honest and say, oh, they're Stanley Cup contenders. And boy, that was Freudian, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think I wasn't expecting it this year. Obviously nobody was.
Right.
I'm not really expecting it next year. I just don't see that. I try and be realistic. So, you know, as to not get your hopes up but they're not that team, but who knows?
Right.
Like I said, July 1st will say a lot about which way they want to go. Health always has a huge... I mean, they did get outplayed in the playoffs, but they're missing Mueller and Hajduk. Mm-hmm. And I think with them in the lineup, I don't think anybody can argue with this, they might not have gotten more goals or whatever, but they might have run that Sharks team down a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe not physically, but they can take the puck and skate with it, and they can, you know, see what happens and run them up and down the ice. Because the Sharks did admit they were tired. You know, there's some long games. You got... back to back to back overtime games, and so
it wasn't easy on them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not easy on anybody. It's
people stop
watching for 82 games, and then all of a sudden come in and go, hey,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm not expecting Stanley Cup contention. I'm expecting playoffs again. Mm-hmm. So much has to do with health.
Yeah.
You know, if Anderson goes down, everything changes. Hayduk's not getting any younger. But I think the upside of the team is a lot brighter than everybody thought it would be.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me right now.
I think it's going to depend a lot on the responses that we see from Edmonton, Minnesota, and Anaheim. And what those three teams, how they're going to respond to basically especially with Minnesota and Edmonton, the massive failures that they had this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even though neither team really improved in the, you know, in the off season last year, except for coaching, you know, both teams supposedly, you know, got in new coaches and supposed to be better and nothing.
I've even heard Ginla might be out of Calgary. Is thinking about trying something different.
I think that he is a guy who, they ride a little too hard, you know, they made some changes. Calgary made some changes at the trade deadline pretty much, or right before the trade deadline. And really, which of those changes made them better? Other than maybe Phaneuf not being in the penalty box at stupid times.
Where did he go, though? Because I always viewed him as, you know, I know when he went to Toronto, but he disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether that's a Western Conference, Eastern Conference thing, but, man, I was surprised. Because he scores, you know, with a couple games left in the season, like, oh, that's Dion Phaneuf's first goal. you know, with Toronto, it's just interesting to see him almost fall off the face of the earth, and nobody talks about him really anymore. And
that could just be Toronto in general, right? True, now,
but his stock really went down. So that says a lot about the move, and I don't know. Things sure can change quickly, and people are not very happy with Kiprusoff. And as far as I had a good conversation as far as would you rather have Backstrom, Kiprusoff, or Luongo? You know, and some people started, you know, it was interesting to see which way people would go. And I'd take Kiprusoff out of those three, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but look, he's still in the playoffs. Look, who made the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, has he, you know, both goaltenders have meltdowns. How many, you know, games have they stolen, you know, with goaltending?
It's more of, you know, when goaltenders are good, they're going to be good.
Right.
When they stink, you know. What level do you stink at?
Right.
You know, and if you're not that bad when you're having an off game.
And you have the highest point scorer, you know, is one of the two Sedin bots.
That helps.
What are you going to do?
That always helps.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a team game. But
I mean, you know, who would change one of those out for, you know, Brizgalov? And, you know, a couple of years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. Would you, you know, look at how Brizgalov led the Coyotes?
I'm still disappointed the Avs didn't pick him up when they had the chance. I mean, he was waived. I mean, they could have picked him up at bargain.
He was waived, but
bargain deal.
Could they, you know, where were the teams as far as position? Because lowest position gets first shot.
Yeah.
You know, gets
yeah, whatever it is.
That was always that weird thing where, you know, when they waived him, because it was looking at a trade at first, then it wasn't going to be a trade, and then it finally just became waiving. And that was almost like, it seemed like a back room. Yeah. Hey, you know, when do you want us to waive him so we can do this?
Yeah, I don't know. You know. But it'll be interesting to watch the Avalanche, and we're all a little more excited than we thought we'd be.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me right now. Yeah. When I say we, I mean the fans, right? Yeah. Not the team. But
speaking of you and the other fans.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see. I mean, Adam Foote coming back. I mean, you know, if he wants to come back.
That could change the face of what they do.
If you want to come back, you know, some people have said, even if he wants to come back, you don't sign him. It's like, whoa. And that could happen, you know. And he could also say, you know, I just don't have it quite anymore. And I think either way, the Avs will be okay. It's not like he's losing games for them, but he's not the Adam Foote we once knew.
Well, that's true. And then who do you turn the captaincy on to? And I think that's a good question at this point.
Yeah. We'll talk about that, you know, when we find out for sure.
What's
but I think, yeah. And I think he did a good job, you know, playing wise. We all know he's not Adam Foote, you know, but, he's got to get some credit for what this team did this year. And I'm sure he did a lot more than we'll ever know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Now you're a true hockey fan, so you've been keeping up with the playoffs, of course.
Of course,
somewhat. But overall, this year's playoffs have been pretty damn exciting.
They have, what I've watched has been a lot of fun.
Any surprises to you? Anything that's jumped out at you as interesting? Anything?
I love the 5, 6, 7, 8 out of the East in the second round.
Yeah.
Love it. You know,
actually 2, 2, 6, 7, 8.
That was 5.
2, 6, 7, 8.
Well, you got
Penguins versus first round was Penguins was 4, right? No, Penguins was. Oh man, now I've got to look it up. This is
see
awful.
How it goes. I believe it was 5, 4, 6, 7, 8. You have the 4, 5 matchup, right, and then all the top. I like that. I'm a big underdog guy, and you know playoffs. And like I said about Tortorella,
4, 6, 7, 8. Senators were 5th,
yeah. So they were out. So I like that. You know, and the Western Conference is just fun to watch them beat up on each other, and you know. Show who's it'll be interesting to see who survives out of the West and see if they have enough to beat who's ever left in the East.
Yeah, if the Blackhawks, you know, win it, which, you know, I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to win it.
They're starting to play better now.
You'll see that 1-2, you know, first second in the West. I mean, that's going to be amazing because, you know, how often is it that you know, the Sharks get the first round, you know, get the top points, you know, our number one overall seed, and then get eliminated in the first one or two round.
It's a great time of the year.
It's finally time for those Sharks. I mean, they're, you know, even though Nabokov has been, you know, shaky at many times, you know,
but he still wins.
Yeah.
And his numbers are, I think he lost 14 games during the regular season. He plays
pretty much
every game.
It was funny because they would say, you know, well, any goaltender could win there. And, you know, look at Toskola because, you know, Toskola went, you know, he goes away and then he just falls apart. But it's not like they have had the exact same defenseman over and over and over and over.
True.
I mean, Rob Blake's lost a step. He's still, you know.
Yeah.
He's still got some of it, but he certainly doesn't have the Rob Blake hip check anymore.
No, you know? He's got the knee check on Matt Duchene.
That's true.
Yeah, we could talk about that, but
we're not going to be bitter.
No, that's not our style. But it's a great time of the year. I love But when I can watch as much hockey as I can, it's, yeah, it's always so exciting. Every goal means something. Momentum doesn't really go game to game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I said, that's why you play the game.
You can still have a team like the Montreal, you know, Montreal Canadiens, exactly, make a noise. And yeah, unlike plays like, I mean, people are saying, I'm hearing a lot of basketball talk right now that, yeah, you know, basketball playoffs go pretty much as predicted. Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's unfortunate. You know, same thing with baseball. You know, big money teams versus small money teams. And then here you have in hockey right now.
Hockey's never been that way. I think that's why people who are passionate about it kind of.
We've had our perennial losers, like, you know, Blue Jackets have still only made the playoffs, yeah, once in their history and they got swept.
But the teams that make it in, they always have that chance. And, yes, and you know, if you're playing well at the right time, anything can happen. Yeah. And health is a big issue as well. I mean, ask the Avalanche.
I mean, everybody's been in the playoffs now. You know, every team has, yeah, actually made it to the playoffs. But, you know, if I'm looking at teams right now in the West, for instance, Minnesota and Columbus are the two that you can pretty much handicap as being out most of the time.
Right.
Minnesota can make a noise, you know, yeah, pretty fast. You know, and in the West, or in the East, of course, you've got almost anybody in the Southeast except for, you know, Washington. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's been, yeah, it's fun to watch that and watch teams kind of come and go. I enjoyed watching the Caps blow it, you know, and that's just because, you know, I enjoy rooting against Ovechkin from time to time, but, yeah, you know.
I want to see the Bruins do well. I figured that my team of choice would be the Bruins if I were picking an East Coast team, you know, just in general to follow. But there are things I like about the Washington Capitals. At the beginning of the year, the very first game of the year was Bruins versus Capitals, mm-hmm, and I said I like the balance in Boston. You know, they have a lot of good elements there in Boston,
they do.
But the only thing I like about the Capitals is the offense. And looking at how it turned out, it looks like I was 82 games early in saying that, because, you know, look at what they do, 121 points in the season.
Yeah.
And then first round and they're out, and you know, they had it in their grips.
They do. And I believe Mike Green becomes a scapegoat for that.
Well,
I mean, I don't know exactly what, because like I said, I don't watch enough Eastern Conference games, but Mike Green was outstanding last season, and now, mm-hmm, you know, when I posted I got my Cochy jersey, I hear from the Capitals fans saying, well, I should have hit Mike Green harder, you know? So he goes from hero to dud in you know, less than a season, but.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting how that all works out.
Tom Pody, mm-hmm, you know, there's a guy who, you know, that guy should not be your number one defenseman. You should not win games if that guy's your number one defenseman.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, sometimes I guess he turns it on.
Well, they score a ton of goals, too.
Yeah.
By they, I mean Ovechkin.
Yeah. The goal differential, they had 85 more goals than they were against. 85.
That's why I like the playoffs.
Next off, of course, was Chicago Blackhawks with 62.
Huh.
You know, which is still a ton. For the Avalanche, the goal differential, they had 11 more goals for than against.
And they finished 20-something points higher than they did last season. Huge turnaround.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Only one team was actually even goals for and goals against. Nashville.
Mm.
Dead even.
They bring a lot of intangibles.
And on that note.
That's a wrap.
Jay, who you want to pimp? You need to pimp yourself a little bit. Your www.avshockeypodcast.com.
Yes. Twitter.
Yeah.
AVSHKYPODCAST. Twitter only allows 15 characters, I believe, for your name, and Avs Hockey Podcast, all spelled out, would be 16. So
it's Avs HKY Podcast.
And then my Facebook fan page. I've got, you know, what I like about my page is I have real true fans there that, you know, I see some of the comments people leave on the Avalanche page. It's like, you know. But it's a good place. Like, I have my jerseys there as well. But mm-hmm. on the AvsHockeyPodcast.com page, I'll start posting some things about jerseys that I have in my collection and kind of telling the story and stories behind the jerseys, how I acquired them, and you know, interesting quirks about them. So it's kind of a different twist on things. But I'm always trying to, I don't know, change it up for myself so I stay interested. And I don't know, check it out if you like jerseys, and if you have any questions or whatever. You know, leave a comment and we can talk jerseys. I'm always
there's a big old link to the Facebook page on Avs Hockey.
Yeah, that and Twitter Twitter. So,
and iTunes, of course,
and iTunes. Yeah, absolutely. So just search for me, any of those places if you like Avalanche hockey, and And I'll just give you my perspective. I try not to be a big homer and be real controversial and say, hey, look at me. You know, I just try and keep you informed because I know not everybody gets to watch the Avalanche like I do. So
yeah.
I think that comes out through my show. It's, you know, I've been doing it for 3 years now and I just try to keep people informed and I throw my opinion in where it's,
you know. 3 years, you're a podcasting veteran.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
You bring what's Hall of Fame status? I bring plenty of intangibles.
Adam Curry, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I got some work to do.
Daily Source Code. He's gone off the deep end a little bit. But
Well, let me know when I do, and yeah, whatever.
I told you already.
Yeah. So there's my spiel about myself, but cool. I appreciate you having me on again. It's always a pleasure.
Having you on, it's your podcast too. You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always fun to have somebody else to talk to, and I do what I can by myself.
Next time we do it, maybe we won't go quite, you know, an hour and a half.
Well, we got to go. While. Yeah, we do Universal and talk about all kinds of stuff. And I know it's been a while since you had a show, too. Yeah. So we got to make up for lost time.
Been jonesing.
Yeah, you got to do something during the off-season, right?
Been David jonesing.
Well, my Keith jonesing. Yeah, but you got to do something. Like, my season's over, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's good to kind of wrap it all up and start to look towards next year and do it all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, for your listeners, my podcast, which of course this episode will be almost exactly the same, is at www.rinkpodcast.com. My Twitter is tapeleg, all one word, and the Rink's Twitter is rinkpodcast, twitter.com/rinkpodcast. And people, if they want, can either leave comments on the site, find it at iTunes, whatnot, or can also call, have a number, 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465. If anybody wants to call, call in and whatnot. And hopefully soon I'm going to have another tweet cast, put it out on Twitter as to when, if anybody wants to call in and talk hockey for 10 minutes. And,
yeah.
You might see
some cross posts between our sites as well, just as far as especially jerseys on my site that might be on his site too. But we do a ton of stuff together. So if you see that, don't get freaked out.
Yeah. Freak out. It's okay.
Yeah, you can freak out if you want to. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. We're not
going to speak for you.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, just go ahead and freak out while you're at it.
We make a great team. We'll just put it that way.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to episode 61 of The Rink. I've already read the credits, but one final note. Hopefully The Rink is going to be going to the draft in LA at the end of June. And if you're going to be there, I'd love to talk to you, either on the podcast or not on the podcast. It's up to you. You can drop me a line using the contact sheet on www.rinkpodcast.com, or you can hit me up at Twitter. It's twitter.com/rinkpodcast. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.